Mishnah Ches, there's a general rule of asei doichalei saaseh, that a positive mitzvah to do something overrides a negative mitzvah. So if the Torah says you need to do something, and the only way you could do it is by violating a different avera, the rule is that you can violate that avera in order to perform the mitzvah. Now if the only way to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah is by violating Yom Tov, in that case it will be forbidden to blow the shofar, since violating Yom Tov is not only a lei saaseh, it's not only an avera, but you're also violating an asei, a positive mitzvah of resting on Yom Tov. So the positive mitzvah of hearing the shofar does not override both the positive and negative mitzvahs of keeping Yom Tov. The point of this mission is to show us that even if the prohibition of Yom Tov is only midrabbanan, so now you've got the positive mitzvah midoraisa of blowing the shofar, and a negative mitzvah midrabbanan, so we would have thought that certainly you should blow the shofar. Nevertheless, this Mishnah will teach us that the Rabbanon were especially strict with regards to prohibitions of Shabbos and Yom Tov, such that they are viewed as being on the level of a Midoraisa prohibition, as if you are violating Yom Tov Midoraisa, and as such you'll be forbidden to do so even in order to hear the Shofar. And so the Mishnah says, Shofar Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, Ima'avirin Olav Esat Chum, it is forbidden to travel beyond the Tchum Shabbos, which is the maximum distance of 2,000 amas from one city, beyond which it is forbidden midrabbanon to travel on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So if the only shofar available is beyond his Tchum, even though it's only forbidden midrabbanon to travel there, one may nevertheless not travel there, even if he will not be able to fulfill the mitzvah. Ve'mefakhen olav esagal, it's forbidden to uncover a pile of stones of rubble, which is on top of a shofar, even if it's the only way you'll be able to hear a shofar. It would mean violating the prohibition midrabbanon of muktzah, of moving things which are not designated for Shabbos use. So the rubble is not designated for any use on Shabbos, and therefore it's forbidden to move it. Midrabbanon of lo'elim ba'ilon, and one cannot climb a tree in order to get the shofar. That's forbidden midrabbanon in case you come to break off a branch. One cannot ride an animal in order to obtain a shofar if, let's say, he can't walk. It's forbidden to ride an animal on Shabbos or Yom Tov, in case one comes to break off a stick from a tree in order to use it to guide or hit the animal. V'leishotin al pnei amayim, it's forbidden to swim in the water in order to perhaps cross a river in order to get a shofar. Drabonon, it's forbidden to swim on Yom Tov in case one comes to build a raft. Vein chayzchin oisan, it's forbidden to cut the actual shofar off the animal, to cut the horn off, being bedovashumishum shavus. Whether you use a tool, which would mean it's only forbidden midrabbanon, and that would be a tool which is not regularly used to cut horns off an animal, so therefore it would only be forbidden midrabbanon. Even in that case, you would not be able to cut the horn off, and of course, if it requires violating a midoraisa prohibition, then all the more so would be forbidden to cut the horns off the animal. Now the same would apply if you already cut the horns off the animal, but it still requires a bit more cutting in order to use it as a shofar. That would also be forbidden midraisa, or midrabbanon if you do it in an irregular way, because it's considered to be repairing a utensil, or even creating a utensil, creating a new use for it. However, if let's say the shofar could be used, and you are able to produce a sound with the shofar, however, it's not so clear, and you want to clear it out with some liquid. Says the Mishnah, Aval imrod salithin esoichem mayim ayayin, if one wants to put some water or wine through the shofar, yitain, he may do so, he can put it in there, since he would be able to use the shofar without adding that water or wine. So the water or wine is not considered to be repairing the utensil, repairing the shofar. It's making it a better quality sound and easier to use. However, since you could use it without doing so, it is permitted to do so as it does not come under the category of repairing a utensil. Now the halacha is, as we learned earlier on in the Masechta, if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, then midrabbanon it's forbidden to blow the shofar, in case one comes to carry it out into a public domain which would be forbidden midoraisa. However, even when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, a ma'akvin is a tinoikis v'liskoya. One does not need to stop children from blowing the shofar and practicing blowing the shofar and playing with it. And not only that, I was asking in Mohen Achinilmadu. One can even busy himself with the children and play with them until they learn how to blow the shofar themselves. That doesn't necessarily mean that the adults are allowed to blow the shofar themselves, but it means that they can sort of show their children how to do it and to totally allow the children to continue playing with the shofar, and we are not concerned that that will lead somebody to carry it out into a public domain. That's only a concern if you have a mitzvah to blow the shofar. So you might take the shofar to an expert or somebody to blow the shofar for you. But here where you have no mitzvah, you're only allowing the children to play with the shofar, we are not concerned that you will come to carry it out into a public domain. Now while we're on the topic, says the Mishnah of Ahamis Asik, one who is busying himself with blowing the shofar, but he is not doing so in order to fulfill the obligation. Perhaps he's practicing, perhaps he's just playing around, making sounds with the shofar, lo yotza. He has not fulfilled his obligation of hearing the shofar, even if he does this on Rosh Hashanah. And similarly, the Hashemiah Mitzasek, one who hears the shofar sound from somebody who is blowing it just to busy himself with it, but not with the intention to fulfill the mitzvah, lo yotza, he has also not fulfilled his obligation. The reason being, mitzvah tzriches kavona. In order to fulfill a mitzvah, one has to intend to do so. And the Mishnah is adding that if the person who is doing the act of the mitzvah, the person who is blowing the shofar, if he doesn't have the intention of fulfilling the mitzvah, or of blowing it for other people to fulfill the mitzvah, then even if the person who hears it has the intention, that is not enough. Rather, both of them need to have the intention that the shofar is being blown for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah. Mishnah Tes, Rosh Hashanah is known as Yom Teruah in the Torah. Yom Teruah means the day of blowing of the Teruah, and the Torah uses this phrase of Teruah 3 times, and we learn from there that a Teruah sound needs to be blown 3 times on Rosh Hashanah. That is the mitzvah mid'oraisa of Shofar. Now it is also learned from Pesukim that before each of these Teruah sounds, a Tekiah also needs to be sounded. A Tekiah is 1 long blast, so before and after each Teruah, a Tekiah needs to be blown. Now what exactly a Teruah is and how the sound is will be elaborated upon in this Mishnah. But first the Mishnah tells us that Seder Tekiah, the order of the blowings of the Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, is Sholesh 3 times, 3 sets, Shel Sholesh Sholesh, of 3 blasts each. So that means that you've got to have 3 Teruahs, and each Teruah also has a Tekiah before and after it. So you end up blowing 9 times, and that's Tekiah, Teruah, Tekiah, 3 times. Shir Tekiah, the amount, the measurement of a Tekiah, the one longer blow, is Kesholesh Teruahs. It's like 3 Teruahs, and the way we're going to understand this is that it really means that the length which all of the Tekiahs put together, all 6 blasts of a Tekiah, the length of 6 Tekiah blasts is like the 3 Teruah blasts, which means that each Tekiah lasts for half of the time that a Teruah lasts for. Others learn that it lasts for the same time, and the Mishnah is saying that 3 Tekiahs are like 3 Teruahs, but we'll understand for now that a Tekiah is half the length of a Teruah. Now what is a Teruah? Says the Mishnah, Shir Teruah. The measurement of the Teruah blast is Kesholesh Yabavos, which literally means like 3 whimpers, just like when somebody is whimpering and crying. It's often very short sounds, but a few of them one after the other. So a Teruah is like 3 whimpers one after the other. Now the simple understanding of the Mishnah is that a Teruah is made up of 3 shorter blasts, and that's what we nowadays know as a Shavarim, where the shofar is blown 3 times. However, others understand that each yabava, each whimpering sound, is itself made up of 3. It's split into 3. So 3 yabavos is actually 9 very short sounds, and that's what we know as a Teruah. Alright, continue the Mishnah. Toka Barishayna, if one blew the first Tekiah of one of the sets of 3, remember there are 3 sets of Tekiah, Teruah, Tekiah. So somebody blew a Tekiah for the first time, and then he blew the Teruah. And when it came to the second Tekiah, the Tekiah which comes after the Teruah, Umoshach Bashaniya Kishtayim, he prolonged the second blast of the Tekiah for the length of what 2 Tekiahs would be. So however long one needs to make the Tekiah last, he blew it for double that. The question is, can that be considered like 2 Tekiah blasts? Like the last one of the first set, and the first Tekiah of the next set? Says the Mishnah, no, at the end of the day it was only 1 blast, 1 longer blast, in Biyodi El Achas, it's only considered like 1 Tekiah, because the Torah requires 9 blasts, or 3 sets of Tekiah, Teruah, Tekiah, and this would not be considered to be 2 of them, only 1. Now as we saw earlier on in the Masechta, ideally the Shofar should be blown during Musaf, at the end of 3 of the middle brachas in Shmona Esrei, the Malchios, the Chronos, and Shofaros. The Mishnah discusses somebody, Misha Beirach, somebody who made the brachas of the Shemona Esrei of Musaf, but he did not have a shofar available. and only v'acharkach, after he had finished davening nisman aloi shofar, he managed to obtain a shofar. Says the Mishnah, Tokea umeria v'seikea shalosh pa'amim. He should blow a takia to ro takia 3 times, just as he would have done during Musaf, at different parts of Shemana Esrei. So now he should just blow all 3 sets of takia to ro takia, all at one, even though ideally it should be done together with Shemana Esrei. If one has finished that, he can still blow the shofar by itself and blow all of the blasts together. Now the Masechta ends off with a relatively unrelated law, and that is with regards to a chazan for a regular Shemana Esrei. The halacha is that as well as the chazan repeating the Shemana Esrei, he also says it silently himself, the regular silent Shemana Esrei. Now, according to the Tanakhama, the reason why the chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei is in order that those people who don't know how to daven themselves, for example, in those days where there were very few sidurim available, so people sort of had to daven by heart, so those who couldn't do so would fulfill their obligation by listening to the chazan repeat Shemana Esrei. However, says the Mishnah, Keshem Shashliach Tzibur Chayev, just like the chazan himself, is obligated to recite Shemana Esrei silently first, Kach kol yochid v'yochid chayev, so too each individual who knows and is able to say Shemana Esrei himself is obligated to do so himself and cannot rely on the chazan's Shemana Esrei. However, Rabban Gamliel says, Shliach tzibur meitzes rabban yidei chivasan, the chazan can fulfill the obligation on behalf of the entire public, even those who are able to say Shemana Esrei themselves. And the reason why the chazan has to say the silent Shemana Esrei first is not because his repetition is not considered to be a good Shemana Esrei. It's only so that he can see the Shemana Esrei first and practice it to himself and familiarize himself with the words before actually repeating it out loud. But the repetition is perfectly valid, and therefore anybody, according to Rabban Gamliel, can rely on it to fulfill their obligation of Shemana Esrei. Solik Maseches Rosh Hashanah Mazel Tov.